Listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John.
Hola, amigos. I am predicting a lively debate-type show today. Definitely want your opinions. Got a fun guest list as the Saints are off today from training camp. Tomorrow's a closed practice. We'll talk a little softball to lead things off for a very good reason. We'll talk some basketball as well. A little football with your black and gold. And then I really want your opinions on something that I touched on yesterday. I told you had homework tonight or last night for today's show. And it has to do with the Maryland Terrapins football program. The head coach, DJ Durkin, placed an administrative leave. What happened there? An offensive lineman wound up dying from extreme heat exhaustion based on workouts and things of that nature. We'll get into it in specifics, but primarily is this that I want to get into coming up later on the show, really the entire second, third hour. I'm going to leave it open to you. And it has a lot to do with what's the appropriate level, right? How do you properly motivate, push a player and a athlete to excel, to get better? What's the appropriate language? Because we're going to go into it, and a lot of it's, you know, denigrating players, making fun of their weights, things. Is that the proper way to do it? And if you knew about that, because I probably imagine a lot of those kids' parents don't, would you be okay with it? Have you been in a situation, playground, high school, collegiate level, where your child comes to you and tells you, this is the language? Have you been at a practice and heard that? Have you gone into that? So it's something I really want to delve into. Ken Trahan has followed the local scene prep-wise for a long, long time. We're going to talk to him at 2:30 a little bit about this, but we're going to take a lot of your phone calls in the meantime as well, because we do have a lot of really good high school coaches here, a lot of good coaches overall in this state. And I just wonder what the philosophy is. You know, I got a 20-month-old. At some point in time, I'm probably going to put him in athletics. I'll probably coach to a certain degree. But if, you know, especially now, so many kids go to specialized programs, right? Whether it's travel ball, whether it's certain schools or, you know, programs to get you better to play. And at a young age, I mean, there's camps that start at 2, 3, and 4. You know, now most of the time you're probably with them and stuff, but a lot of times you're not. What's the appropriateness of that type of coaching? So we'll get into that here in a little bit as well. Coming up in a minute, we're going to go to Portland, Oregon for a reason. A little softball, a little World Series action as the East Bank here over in Jefferson Parish representing well. At 12:20, Mike Triplett, ESPN.com. We'll touch on Los Santos as the Saints, again, with that day off, a closed practice tomorrow. Thursday's a walkthrough, and boom, it is preseason game number 2. 12:30, Sean Kelly, voice of your New Orleans Pelicans. We never really got a chance to talk about the schedule that was released back on Friday. We'll go over the fact that they're going to be on national television, Jordan, 13 times, and what Max Kellerman had to say on First Take. What was it, Friday, or it might have been Monday? I think it was Monday, about Anthony Davis. Really, really good. So we'll play a little of that and talk to him about it. 1:15, it is Tuesday, which means it's Touch 'Em All, Timmy Grubbs. Got a chat with him about the Major League Baseball storylines and, of course, the final weeks of the Baby Cakes season. So all of that is coming up today on the show. First, let's go up there to Portland, Oregon, as it is time to find out what is going on in the softball Little League World Series. Jeff Nelson's going to join us to catch us up on what's going on in the semifinals, Jeff, for the girls up there.
Hey, Gus. How you doing, buddy?
Doing good, man.
Man, it's been a heck of a last couple weeks. You know, we got up to Portland Monday. The girls got up here. Long, long day of travel. Most of the parents, if not, had flight issues. It was quite the ordeal, but everybody made it. All the families are here. The girls are doing great. Just to kind of speed you up on where we're at.
Yeah.
We started pool play, on Wednesday. We ended up beating a good Oregon team, 5-1. I think girls were a little bit nervous. Kind of worked the kinks out. We got the bats going. The next day we played Latin America, which was Mexico. We beat them 8-1. Another solid ball club. Then we had a day off Friday, which the girls were able to go see Canyon Beach, some of the family, cool experience, where the rock is from the movie Goonies.
Yeah.
So little sightseeing, love. They did that practice that day now. And then Friday, we played a tough ball club from the Philippines, who represents Asia Pacific, and beat them 4-3. We moved into our last pool game, which was Sunday, and beat a central team from the state of Ohio 10-4. That wrapped up pool play. We came in 4-0 in pool. We were actually the only team that was able to do that. Played very well, moved into bracket, started bracket play yesterday, single elimination style, and faced off against the Southeast representative, which was Tennessee. And a little bit slow of a start, think, you know, the nerves, and hey, this is the real deal. And then the bats caught fire, great pitching, great catching, great, you know, just a solid win. And the girls, they're hot. Those bats opened up at the right time. So we'll face off actually today for a huge semifinal game against that same central team from Ohio today at 6 o'clock your time, 6 o'clock your time,
mm-hmm.
on ESPN2. So everybody, go get your mom and them. Go get everybody. Big time stuff here. We're excited. We're excited.
You know, Jeff, we talked with Coach 2 Fridays ago, right before you guys made the trip over there, and had been done. Right, this is not only a learning experience, but really precedent setting here. Nobody from the East Bank Little League has ever gone over there to the World Series, much less really gotten this far. So you guys are riding. At this point, go ahead and win it.
Yeah, I mean, we said if we're gonna travel across the country, you know, we might as well just win the dang thing.
Right.
So, and that's what Coach Ray, you know, that's what Coach, you know, I think it was the first or second practice. He said, "I'm said, girls, let's go work hard. Said we got to make this long flight. We're gonna have a nice day. Let's go win the dang thing, and hopefully we can do it. Like I said, we're gonna face a tough ball club from Central. Solid pitching, solid hitting. Every team up here, you know, you got to be ready. You have to be ready to bring your A game. If not, you're gonna play in one of those consolation games, and we really don't want that. So we're vying for a chance tonight to play in the championship, which would be tomorrow night. So we're excited. Girls are jacked up. They're actually had all kinds of ESPN and media obligations this morning because once you hit the semifinals, it gets a lot more in-depth. You learn a lot more about the girls and the mm-hmm. family.
So, that's awesome.
Exciting. Very exciting.
No, it's great. Look, I'm glad you guys reached out to us a couple of weeks ago because obviously everyone knows what happens in Pennsylvania. I mean, it's a very popular tournament, obviously, Little League World Series there. And to have a team from Louisiana go a couple of times and get close there and even play over there, Williamsport, it's nice. But to never have the ladies make their way to the World Series, it's fantastic. And anything we can do to spread the word out, again, 6 p.m., it's the Southwest team, right? You guys represent Southwest because you had to go to Texas to beat them in order to get there. 6 p.m. against Central, which is a team out of Ohio, on ESPN2 tonight at 6 p.m. if you want to go check them out and give them a little support.
Correct. That's what we're looking for. You know, like I said, we came up here, let's go win it. And, you know, maybe we could get, you know, a few people to line up on veterans in Bainbridge around the airport. You know, when we get in. But you never know. We thank everyone, all, you know, our supporters from the beginning. We still have the GoFundMe going because, you know, to offset some of these expenses up here. So if anybody would like to still go to the GoFundMe, East Bank Little League GoFundMe, we truly appreciate it. We were kind of astonished to hear some of the numbers that some of these other states had brought in with different things. And we are extremely grateful for the support, whether it be the media, the people of Louisiana, the people of New Orleans, the people of River Ridge. Look, this is your team. These girls look in the mirror every day. This is your team. Show mm-hmm. the support. schools blowing up with support to all the kids, the social media. We're ready. Let's go run the gauntlet and get this thing done. So we thank you, Gus. Hey, but been knowing you a long time, and it's funny I crossed paths again.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Jeffrey, thank you so much for giving us a little bit of your time again. It's the East Bank Little League ladies representing the southwest region of the country up there in the in the Little League World Series semifinals tonight, 6 p.m. against a team out of Ohio representing the Central Division out there. So ESPN2 tonight, folks. Tune it in and catch your locals right there trying to bring home a championship. Thank you, Jeffrey. We'll keep you posted.
Take care, bud.
Yep, for sure. I love it. Now, you see, you were concerned that I was El Gato Negro in him. Now, half the families didn't get there when I was supposed to. But I mean,
exactly.
In all honesty, and again, we just saw that the transmitter was out of power. Now we're back. We're up and running all the way around. By the way, if you ever tune us in and for some reason you hear Chinese radio or something, that means our transmitter's down or a rock station or something. We're always streaming. TuneIn radio app, that is always working. It's a free app. You can connect it to your car, use your USB port, and boom, you got us always going on. That was Jeffrey Nelson, one of the parents on the team, because we spoke with Coach Ray Jordan 2 weeks ago. And I literally reached out to him yesterday when I saw they won. I'm like, love to have you on to pump the semifinal game, but I gave them the option. And Todd, you'll be proud of me. You'll be proud of me on this. I gave them the option. Did you want to have Coach, or did somebody else want to come on and actually, do the interview? Because, Jordan, I did not want to give them the curse. You know what I mean? Like, I had to think about that now. It's ridiculous. Because now you're on board and you actually think I curse people.
I've been on board. Since day one.
So I gave him the option. And that was a parent on the team and not the head coach. So clearly I'm not the only one that thinks. You know what? Let's leave well enough. They haven't lost. We're good. Somebody else can tell me what's going on, right? I mean, we don't need coach. We're good. But in all seriousness, tune in 6 p.m. tonight, ESPN2. It's awesome. It's exciting, man. Hopefully they can win tonight against Ohio and be in the championship game, which would be tomorrow, and bring home a softball Little League World Series. All right, coming up, in case you're just joining us, got a fun show. At 12:20, Mike Triplett is going to join us. We'll talk a little Saints leading into his interview. 12:30, Sean Kelly, because we did not get a chance to talk about the schedule that came out for your New Orleans Pelicans. As I'll play this now, and then we can kind of get into it when Sean gets here. So this is Max Kellerman, First Take, right? They're talking about Los Angeles.
Boo.
Apparently that's not how you have to refer to Los Angeles. It's Los Angeles with LeBron James there. And the host Molly asked Max, is this the year LeBron wins, gets back to winning an MVP? Kellerman's response.
No, this is the year I believe LeBron will be eclipsed by the end of the season as the best player in basketball, and it'll be by Anthony Davis, who's just so much younger than him, and should be entering his real prime right now. And we saw some of that in the playoffs last year. Just as LeBron is finally, you would think, eventually having to descend a little. But I think more than that, the reason he won't win MVP, because you said should, Molly, so I think, maybe AD will even actually deserve it by the end of the year.
Yeah, sorry, I asked that whole question.
All right, so then to get into LeBron needing help and doing all those things, what are you doing? Are you fanning yourself because you're about to pass out? That national people on talk shows are saying AD will
talking
pass
about the Pelicans.
LeBron as the best player in the NBA.
I'm hyped.
Look, flat out, I said this to a buddy of mine. It was Scott on Friday when we were talking about the schedule being released because it was after the show. And I said, what's crazy is this, right? What's crazy is this. I love the fact that national TV said, you lost Boogie. They went, okay, so what? 13 nationally televised games.
Boom.
13. easily, I would say, the most since they've been here. I mean, I want to say the most, honestly.
I think it's tied.
It's tied with Chris when Chris was here?
Yeah.
After the year went to the second round?
Yeah.
Almost. Western Conference final.
They should have went to the NBA Finals and won it.
Well, whoa. Let's settle down.
He had Kobe on the ropes.
You go back, I want to say it was a week or 2 weeks before the season ended. It was at L.A. It was a key game, and Kobe went bananas. He went full Mamba. Lakers won, got the top seed in the West, and that was it. If the Hornets would have won that game, Chris is your MVP, and the Hornets get the number one seed.
NBA Finals, baby.
But it is what it is. That was fun. But my point is, it's 13 games, right? I mean, there's a lot. I guess it's a good thing, and that's why we want to talk to Sean a little bit about this, is it's a good thing if you're a Pels fan, because there's still a lot of confidence and belief. At the end of the day, now I get it, and it can happen, right, where they can pull the game. So if they don't do well, they'll be replaced. But the fact that they have them scheduled for 13 games is exciting. Because that means TNT, ABC, I'm not talking about NBA TV, I'm talking about those two. They feel that they're must-watch games. They feel they'll be good enough against those opponents to go check them out and go see. It's fantastic. I mean, again, that's just so cool to see, because that means the league and the networks feel that this team, despite losing DeMarcus Cousins, despite losing Rajon Rondo, are still good enough.
I mean, it's not the 32 that the Warriors have, but I'll take 13.
I want to say the Lakers had 43.
No way.
No, yeah, it's like 43, 41. Seriously, Google it.
I sent
Lakers,
you the list.
No, Google it. Lakers nationally televised games. It's in the 40s. It's about almost half of the games, if not a little more. Serious. First nationally televised game will be the start of the season October 17th. I want to say September 23rd is the start of training camp. We'll ask Sean. Will you get here in a little bit as well?
LA's 32.
32?
Yeah.
Okay. That was close. I think they have the most, don't they? Or is it the Warriors?
Golden State has 29.
Okay. So it's the Lakers. Mm-hmm. The LeBron effect. But here's the other thing, too. It's out in LA. It's the West Coast. I bet you most of those 32 are home games. You know what I'm saying? There's only so many teams that have that late game, that doubleheader, the second half of a doubleheader on TNT or ESPN. That are out in the West Coast. There's only so many teams to choose from. So that's why I think probably a lot of their home games is what it goes on. Anyway, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll speak with Mike Triplett. We'll talk a little Saints. And then Sean Kelly at 12:30. Tim Grubbs at 1:15. As we said, the overall question of the day, I'm giving people some time to respond and do that. Join the intern. Go ahead and read the question of the day. It has to do with what's going on in Maryland. DJ Durkin placed on administrative leave. Offensive lineman Jordan McNair died of a heat stroke suffered during football workouts. His body temp was 106. He had trouble standing up after running a set of 110-yard sprints. Had a seizure. It happened on May 29th. He wound up passing away June 13th. There was an hour between when he had that seizure and EMTs arrived. He was described as hyperventilating and having that seizure due to the workouts. And look, again. A lot of things in the world of sports now are different now that I'm a dad. And look, you're trusting a program. You're trusting coaches with your child's life and well-being. And it's not just that, because since then, reports on ESPN have come out about the verbal abuse and a lot of the practices that's going on in Maryland, making fun of kids' weights, forcing them to eat chocolate, eat till they throw up. I mean, some really disturbing things. And kids are scared, right? Because in that culture and that world of sports, are you tough enough?
Well, you know, especially in high school,
kids
are very vulnerable.
Exactly right. And you don't want to be seen as not tough enough.
Right.
Can you handle it? Can you not? So we'll dive into this as well. It's on our Facebook page. It's on our Twitter page as well if you can't call in. But I'd love to hear from parents, playground coaches, high school coaches, anybody listening, like, have you had an instance like that? Or what is your guidelines? What's your limit, right? With language and with practice habits. How do you know if you're pushing a kid not enough or too much? Sports Hangover Hour 1 brought to you by the King Firm. Don't forget, don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. You've been injured in an accident. Ring the King, 504-909-KING. Mike Triplett of ESPN.com is on next. You're listening to ESPN New Orleans.
Hi, I'm Jason Giles with the King Firm.
In New Orleans, there's only one king to ring when it comes to personal injuries.
If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King at 909-KING.
Hurry in for a scorching hot deal at Southland Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Fiat Summer Clearance Event. Come test drive the new 2018 Dodge Journey, fueled by adventure with over $6,000 off MSRP. The Journey is priced to sell at $18,931. Come celebrate Southland Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Fiat's 50th anniversary at 6161 West Park Avenue in Houma. WAC excludes TT&L. CCAP bonus must finance with Chrysler Financial. Non-prime must have Beacon score of 620 or less.
Do you love playing golf and competing in golf? And how about winning cash at golf? Now you can enjoy it all at the Flagstick in Metairie. Join the golf leagues at the Flagstick and compete on giant 10x15 high-definition simulators. The Flagstick golf leagues are forming now for Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday nights. Call 504-510-5577 or go to theflagstickgolf.com or stop into the Flagstick inside the Clearview Mall and register and compete weekly in the golf leagues. The Flagstick. Play. Practice. Party. The Flagstick.
New Friend Building Materials is proud to announce that our fourth annual fishing rodeo will be held at Bridgeside Marina in Grand Isle, August 17th and 18th. Tickets are $10 and can be purchased at Bridgeside or at any of our four locations, which include Cutoff, Thibodeau, Bell Chase, and Slidell. We'll have youth and adult divisions with K2 coolers to compete for on the adult side. Scales open at 4 p.m. Friday and close at 4 p.m. Saturday, which is when all the food, music, and fun starts and will include both a silent and live auction. So join us for a good time while helping give back to charities like New Life Counseling Center, Austin Abadie, and a local family in Grand Isle.
More than 50 years ago, SL Bank first opened its doors for business. We opened to serve the needs of families and businesses that had been largely ignored by bigger city banks and to operate as a true community bank. That means exceptional service, long-term relationships, value-driven accounts and services, and the assurance your financial future is important to us. Today, those commitments remain unchanged. SL Bank, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. LaRose, North LaRose, Golden Meadow, Cutoff, and Galliano.
Accidents and injuries can put your life on the sideline.
In New Orleans, there's only one king to ring when it comes to personal injuries.
If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King at 909-KING.
Oh, big talker, ain't you?
A man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
I thought it was okay. I didn't think it was particularly one of our better days. I thought it was a little sloppy. It started out that way. Plan was to get it, you know, into some more team drill specific, and they'll be off tomorrow, and we'll get started again on Wednesday.
That was head coach Sean Payton yesterday following practice. Mike Triplett of ESPN.com joins us here to talk a little bit about the Saints. At Mike Triplett's the way to follow him over on Twitter, and of course, ESPN.com. Just click the Saints logo on the team page and under the NFL header, and boom, there he is. Mike, how are you this afternoon, man?
Wonderful. How you doing, guys?
I'm doing fine. So can you say this weekend, the 3 days, you know, Saturday, Sunday, and even Monday there, I know, message sending from Sean Payton. Didn't seem happy with really any of the practices. Devontae Harris is now a Buccaneer following his two penalties in a two-minute drill. I love it. I think it comes across as a coach that's not satisfied and knows that his team's going to have to play good football against a tough NFC and NFC South schedule.
Yeah, I mean, there's always that balance of how hard to be on the team. I mean, I'm sure fans would eat it up if we were telling reports of three-hour practices in the hot sun with no water 5 days in a row. And coaches love to do that kind of stuff, too, but they also want to get good. It's always a balance for coaches, but I would imagine that there is no easier time for an NFL coach to send a message to his team than after a first preseason game, especially when the starters aren't playing. I'm sure there's more sloppiness with alignments and assignments and miscues in games like that than ever. So whether he is grouchy because he hated what he saw or whether he decided to be grouchy because as he says, coaches like to create a crisis sometimes to get their message across. This definitely seems like the right timing.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Mike, when you go back and look at that Jags game, obviously the first two drives, right? Sean Payton was still days later not happy with the tackling, things of that nature. But again, I think more positive than negatives, the defense still wound up with six sacks. They still had a turnover that resulted in eventually winning the game, creating another possession for the offense there. And I guess that's what stood out to me, the depth on this team. People and players in that fourth quarter are guys that, you know, Nate Stupar started, you know, Devontae Harris started for the Saints, yeah. And one got cut and the other guys are trying to make the team.
Yeah, and look, that's all I read into the second half of that game.
Right.
The dual performances. I don't think that tells you anything about what kind of a season the Saints are going to have, because maybe one player that was on the field in the second half of that game will be on the 53-man roster. I mean, it really is the truth. I mean, they're wearing Saints uniforms, but it's not an indication of Saints football. So when you're watching the second half of a game like that, it's the individuals that can stand out. And there are a couple of intriguing ones that I did not necessarily have penciled onto my 53-man roster that now I'm thinking, maybe I should. And I would say the guys that stand out in that category would be J'Ron Elliott, not only because he had 2.5 sacks, but because he was starting on all the special teams units. And then Taylor Stallworth, because I think there's an opening for that backup nose tackle spot. I think whether it's the veteran Jay Bromley or a young guy like Stallworth or Devereaux Lawrence or Woodrow Hamilton, I think there's an opening for one more defensive tackle to make this team. And then Jonathan Williams, who I had penciled below Terrence West, Shane Vereen, and Boston Scott 1 week ago today. But after he showed up in the game, and then he's really been looking good in practices since then and been getting more run with the first and second team in practices since then, he was another eye-opener in that game.
Yeah, I definitely think so as well. So now as they transition, no more open practices the rest of this week. They start getting into Jacksonville. It did seem, didn't it, that Drew Brees was telling us back on Sunday you might see a little action from him. And also, I guess you want to continue to see the growth in the quarterbacks.
Yeah, I think Brees said something like, at this stage of his career, he likes to get into the second and third preseason games,
right.
And that's enough for him. So that does suggest, although he also said it's not his decision. And I think maybe more than, I don't want to overstate it, but as much as ever, they need to see Taysom Hill and Tom Savage, because that's an impossible decision right now. I mean, that decision is not made. And I couldn't even, you know, I wouldn't bet $1 on a coin flip between the two of them who's going to go into the season as a backup. I mean, Taysom Hill's making this 53-man roster. We know that. But who is going to be the number two quarterback when they're playing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in week one? I'd say it's like 40% Savage, 40% Hill, and like I mentioned on Twitter, maybe 15%. Hey, Luke McCown, are you really retired? Like, just in case they don't trust those guys to be ready that quickly. But obviously you like the things you saw about Taysom Hill, and I still like the long-term projection for him. But it's a lot to ask that they're ready for him to potentially be going into a game in week one.
Yeah, no doubt. Jonathan Williams seems like he's taking that step here as well. Is there any other players you're kind of looking to see maybe continue to make that progress or make things a little more interesting come Friday night?
Well, Friday night is not the answer to this question, but I need to see, and I think the Saints need to see, what they're going to do at wide receiver. I think we need to see Cameron Meredith get back on the practice field by the time they're practicing against the Chargers in L.A. and playing in the last two preseason games to make sure he's a top three or top four guy. I think Traquan Smith, he's one of the guys that got kind of called out by the coaches for some mental errors and assignment errors. We love the big plays we're seeing in practice, but can he be a top three or top four receiver? I kind of like their receiver depth, but it's contingent on at least one, if not both of those guys, being ready for prime time in week one. And I think there's still unanswered questions with both of them. So I think that's an important position group to watch. Everyone else could make the team, Tommy Lee Lewis, Austin Carr, Michael Floyd. But those are the guys you want to be ready to be your top four sooner than later.
Yeah, no doubt, Mike. And then when you look on the defensive side of things, boy, that defensive line depth, right? I mean, it's crazy. Devereaux Lawrence, you're looking at, J'Ron Elliott you mentioned, and Taylor Stallworth. I mean, they're pushing some people there too. I mean, I was referring to him earlier in the week as guys, you got to grab that, you know, that roster sheet perhaps for fans when you're watching, but they're continually making plays, not only in practice and also in that game.
Yeah, no, and we talked all camp about how this is the hardest year ever to pick anybody to be like the sleepers to make the roster. They had 1 year when six undrafted rookies made their roster.
Right.
And you know, for a while it was looking like maybe zero would make this team, except for maybe the tight end position with Dan Arnold and Deion Yelder. But defensive tackle is absolutely one that is fair game. I think Tyler Davison is safe as the starting nose tackle. We know Sheldon Rankin, David Onyemata are safe. But there is an opening for somebody to make the team. Like I said, it looked like Jay Bromley maybe was the favorite based on what we saw in camp. But they love to give young guys a chance when they see that potential. And they spoke highly of both Stallworth and Lawrence and what he saw in that game. And we've seen that position. You know, they've thrown undrafted rookies in at defensive tackle maybe more than any other position over the years.
Good point.
Glenn Foster and Tyron Walker and Bobby Richardson and so on and so forth.
Yeah, no doubt. Good point. All right, we'll look at what takes place on Friday. As always, man, I appreciate a little bit of your time. Mike, thank you for jumping on today.
My pleasure.
At Mike Triplett's the way to follow. Mike Triplett of ESPN.com over online as we get closer and closer to preseason game number two. He agrees, too. You might see a little Drew Brees Friday in the Superdome. We'll go across the street. What are you, what's wrong? You falling asleep or something? Or
you're
ready for this?
You mentioned Drew Brees.
Stop it. You know, this is the problem when you're around Graf too much. This is it.
All right, Bubbles.
Stop it. If that theory was correct, literally everything and everyone I talk about for 3 hours a day for the last 9 years would either be injured or no one would win. At all. Anything. Ever.
Let me think about that.
Stop it.
Think.
You're overthinking it. We're going to go across the street from the Superdome and talk about what the Pels can do in the Smoothie King Center this year. Voice of your New Orleans Pelicans.
There he is.
Sean Kelly will join us. What, am I supposed to mention AD now? Am I supposed to talk about the Pels season? Is that what I'm not supposed to do?
Correct.
You know what? It's the Sports Hangover, Hour 1. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King. 504-909-KING, kinginjuryfirm.com. The folks over there specialize in personal injury, maritime, offshore, mass torts, workers' comp. Be sure to give them a buzz and ring the King. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. Sean Kelly, voice of the Pels, joins us on ESPN New Orleans.
Kick off the weekend with ESPN New Orleans Lunch Club from Friday noon to 3 at Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap located at 132 Royal Street in the French Quarter. Join Gus Cattingill and see why Old Saint is not your average sports bar. Visit our 50 beers on tap and the best poor boys. Gumbo, barbecue shrimp you're going to find around. You got to try it, even their baby back ribs. It's another ESPN New Orleans Lunch Club this Friday noon to 3 at Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap. Grab a friend and join the fun at 132 Royal Street.
The road to the big leagues goes through New Orleans, and it's baseball season at the Shrine on Airline. We've got giveaways, fireworks, fun promotions, and so much more. Tickets start at just $5. Every Thursday, bring your dog, and it's Thirsty Thursday with discounted drink specials. Fireworks are back every Friday. We also offer group discounts, and our suites and hospitality areas are available for groups of any size. For tickets and information, visit cakesbaseball.com. Baseball is back at the Shrine on Airline. Play ball!
As a leader in sanitation for the oil and gas industry, Joe's Septic Contractors caters to all field clients offering vacuum truck service for the offshore tanks, vessels, or treatment plants containing sewage or gray water. Joe's Septic Contractors offers state-of-the-art offshore portable toilets with cages and certified safety slings. Call Joe's Septic Contractors today at 985-632-5592 or visit our website at www.joeseptic.com.
Deciding when and how to retire is one of the most important financial decisions you'll ever make. Do you take a lump sum? Do you have to pay taxes on this money? How do you invest during retirement to make sure you don't outlive your income? What health insurance plans are available? With such an overwhelming number of questions, the most important decision you can make is to seek the advice of a trusted, qualified advisor. Chris Godet has served the area for over 12 years and has the expertise to work with you to find the right solutions. Give Chris Godet a call at 632-6049.
From the creator of The Simpsons and Futurama.
This is a bad time to be coming down off of that high.
Comes an epic tale.
I like war, but I wouldn't say I love it.
Of growing up.
Isn't there a point in everyone's life where they need to go figure out who they are?
In the dark ages.
I want to get rid of all the diseases plaguing mankind and replace them with worse ones.
Disenchantment.
Anybody looks at her, they get their head chopped off.
Boy, did I look at her.
Only on Netflix.
Got a hot take?
I've got something to say.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003 or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA.
I'm a communicator.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Cattingill.
Welcome back, Sports Hangover. Your New Orleans Pelicans schedule is fully out. Lots of excitement in and around. At least the network says, well, voice of the New Orleans Pelicans joins us to talk a little basketball. That's Sean Kelly. You can be followed over on Twitter at Sean Kelly Live, not only during the football and basketball seasons as well, as he's covering the Saints for the website as well, NewOrleansSaints.com. Sean, how are you, man?
I'm doing well. I'm trying to stay cool. It's nasty out here today.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Hey, this is always fun. Max Kellerman, First Take, had this to say when asked about LeBron winning the MVP.
This is the year I believe LeBron will be eclipsed by the end of the season as the best player in basketball, and it'll be by Anthony Davis, who's just so much younger than him, you know, and should be entering his real prime right now. And we saw some of that in the playoffs last year.
Now, look, I get it. It's just a talking head, but it's nice when you hear the face of the franchise being referred to as the guy that can overtake LeBron, Sean. It's a lot of excitement about the Pels going into this new season.
Yeah, it's kind of strange to think that we're actually entering Davis's prime, but that's where right. We are. We're kind of now getting into his prime years. I'd be curious to know when the last time Max Kellerman attended an NBA game. but look, the street talk is fun. It is. Anthony has the ability to do this, and I think he's ready to kind of take another step too. I think last year motivated him in a lot of ways. Just, we've only seen each other one time this summer, but that left kind of an effect on him, the way that they made that push at the end of the season, into the postseason.
It's funny you say that. I want to get into that, and we'll get into the schedule. 13 times the Pels will be on national television, so obviously TNT and NBC, TNT and ESPN feel that they're must-watch television. But one of the things that I was looking at, obviously, when all the moves are made and you have the team that you have now and Boogie decides to go and Rondo decides to go to L.A., I was like, you know, yes, on the surface, you do lose the leadership. And, Sean, you know better than me what Rajon Rondo did on a day-to-day basis on those road trips to help those players grow. But didn't we see, correct me if I'm wrong, especially in that Portland series, I saw Drew Holiday take a step when it came to leadership and captaining this team. I saw Anthony Davis also sort of do that, to the point where I think they were paying attention what Rondo did, and now I think in their own right, you just referred to it, I think AD's ready to say, it is my franchise, it is my team, and I will hold everyone accountable.
Yeah, let's remember, Anthony's personality isn't just going to change overnight. His personality is not as such, but I think now he understands the reality of his situation. And his situation is this. He is a top five player in the NBA. There is more expected of him. And therefore, it does, you know, the buck has to stop with him. And I think that he started to play that way in a lot of ways. The Rondo leadership thing, I would have really have loved to have seen one more year with him around those guys. Just the way that he taught them about watching film and making adjustments. The way that he was able to work them through game situations. And even though he wasn't on the floor, obviously during the postseason, late in a game, you could feel his presence. You could see the fruits of his labor with those guys, time on task type stuff. Holiday is learning more, but, to me, the biggest offseason loss was that was that loss of Rondo. And it was more off-the-floor stuff or the mental side of it. These guys will have to kind of take that on their own now. Drew Holiday played with a chip on his shoulder. But he's going to have to be the cerebral guy now, as opposed to just playing off of Rondo and just getting to go and play almost with a reckless abandon. I think that's where we saw Holiday grow last year was when you took some of that in-game responsibility away from him, man, he just played. And it proved to be a very good thing for the Pelicans. Now he has to do that, but also put the head game back into it too.
Yeah, no doubt, especially when you have a player in Elfrid Payton who, look, Coach Gentry and Del Demps spoke highly about him and how they think he can fit in this system. But, man, you have that many coaches, what was it, 4 and 5 years or 5 and 4, something of that nature with Orlando when he leaves that team as well. It's just we got to find out what kind of player he can be.
I'm not so sure I know. I mean, well, because of all what you just said, I know this. He loves to run, and he really is good at penetrating the lane. And that's very good for this system. And it helps Anthony Davis, too. But you're right. There's so much unknown because of the just absolute dumpster fire that Orlando was. And then the Phoenix situation was just kind of a free-for-all. Elfrid's kind of been left to his own devices, and I'm not so sure that he's been able to figure all this out. So just kind of like Cousins a little bit when he rolled into the franchise, here's a guy in Payton that needs a little stability. And perhaps the fact that you have a stable head coach, you have a stable franchise star. You now have a guard alongside him who's a true vet. Maybe this is the place for Payton to make that big step and to really grow as a player. But beyond that, I don't know. I mean, I really don't know kind of what you're getting. I think you're getting a very athletic guy who wants to do well in his hometown, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, no doubt. At Sean Kelly Live is the way to follow Sean Kelly, voice of your New Orleans Pelicans, over on Twitter. Of course, Pelicans.com, NewOrleansSaints.com. We'll ask him a tidbit or two on the black and gold here in a quick sec. But, Sean, close your eyes for me. You call the games. What do you remember? What can you recall when you close your eyes about Julius Randle? I mean, when he was here this season, I can recall. I see him from the elbow. He's hitting jumpers. He's hitting it off the glass. He's getting rebounds. Guy can play some basketball.
Yeah, and you feel him on the floor, too. He's kind of rugged. And I think this team could use that. I like that. I think that he brings, you know, a physical nature to this team that they need. They don't have really that kind of that guy with the, you know, shoulders that look like boulders and get in there and scrap a little bit. I'd love to see him kind of continue to develop that mid-range jumper a little bit. I think he's a pretty good passer and he can defend. And I think that's important too. This is a nice pickup for the Pelicans and it works, you know, into the rotation nicely. And I think he's going to love playing this system. And he started to play a little bit under Luke Walton, but now he gets a chance to really move around with Alvin Gentry's offensive schemes.
Yeah, well, can't wait to see. What is it, September, last week of September, September 23rd or something is when training camp starts?
Yeah, I think they're already working at it now. They'll take a little break, I think, here at the end of the month, and then it really picks back up again.
Wow.
It's hard for me to get my arms around the fact that our first preseason game in the NBA now is September 30th. That traditionally was when you kind of start camp, and now that's when your first preseason game is.
Yeah,
thankfully, there are only five of those before we get to the real one.
I was going to say, October 17th, a Wednesday night national television, the first of 13 nationally televised at Houston. All they went and got was Carmelo Anthony. A couple of losses there as well, though, and losing Trevor Ariza and seeing what that team can maybe do again this year. But Sean, let's just start with their 13 nationally televised games. Again, it goes back to what I just started the conversation with when Max Kellerman's talking about AD and MVP. Teams would not, or the networks would not have these many games if they didn't think the Pels could play well this year.
No, well, this is, I think, the most ever in the franchise's history. You know, I was really curious to see if Christmas Day would be involved. Sometimes the team will say, hey, we'd rather not. But that's kind of the marquee day in the early portion of the NBA schedule. You're not on it, but you are nationally televised opening week. You're going back to Memphis for the Dr. King Day game. That's been part of the national doubleheader on that Monday night. Yes, this is an attractive team and in an attractive conference. I mean, the West right now is still the juggernaut.
Right.
Philly jumps into the fold here as far as their national appearances going up, because that's a that's kind of a new bright, shiny thing. You know, we like sparkly new. That's the Philly story. So you're going to see them a lot on national TV. But the Pelicans are sprinkled all the way throughout. And it's interesting that first 10 games, Gus, whenever I look at the schedule, I usually go first 10, last 10.
Okay.
And then, you know, key matchups. That first 10, you're on the road for 6 to 10. And that road trip that goes from the end of October into early November, it just about makes your breath go away.
It's a playoff schedule.
Really. You're back-to-back in there is Golden State, Portland. That's brutal. Road game at Oklahoma City. Road game at San Antonio, although they won't be the same. It's interesting. I like the home schedule, too. I really do. I think the fans are going to like a lot of weekend games there. They seem to be kind of pushed toward beyond the holidays. So I know there's some attractive home dates early, mm-hmm. but at the same time, you're going to get a lot of great home weekend dates to see this team, you know, beyond January 1. It's really a shame that you're only going to see Golden State come to town one time, and it's, oh, by the way, the last game of the regular season.
Right.
So from a competitive advantage, I like the fact that you're only playing the Warriors three times. I just don't like that. I just don't like that it's only one visit to New Orleans.
Yeah, no doubt. You talk about that first 10 before you go play Denver and Golden State. You got Utah, too. That's just a good team in matchup-wise. I'll be interested to see how they match up this year against Utah and Minnesota. I don't know if I'm on the – those two just did not match up well, those two teams, when the Pels played them last year. Am I right on that?
Yeah, especially Minnesota. I don't know what it was about that team.
Right.
They've got so much length. I mean, that's part of it. And every time the Pelicans saw the Wolves, Minnesota was healthy. That's the big key, too. I mean, Utah had some health problems late last year that kind of slowed them down a little bit. They're going to be much better. I actually think that the Pelicans and the Jazz match up pretty well. And if I could be off, it all runs together. But I want to say that those matchups were wildly entertaining last year.
Oh,
may have split. I'd have to go back and look. But the Timberwolves one, man, talk about a team having your number. That just was not good. And it was ugly. Each time. So I'd like to see a little payback on that side of the series this year.
I guess I feel that way, Sean, about the Jazz, because Gobert is sort of like AD's kryptonite right now. And when we're looking at that next step that he takes, not only leadership, but I play that bite a lot towards the end of the postseason when they were referring to the Raptors about their two stars and taking up to the next level. And it was an ESPN analyst saying, hey, look, you have superstar status, and then you get to the playoffs, and you have to be great when everyone knows it's you and everyone's trying to stop you, and you're still above that. I think those are the two areas that I'm going to be looking at AD this year. Sure, he'll refine his game, but is there a guy or two that's been able to maybe keep him in check? Can he beat that? And then, of course, once he gets to the postseason, everyone knows it's about him. Can he take that game to that next level?
Yeah, I think, you know, we talk about the world of the unguardables. Which players are just unguardable?
There you go.
You can't guard them with just one person. I think Anthony's getting there, and it's just one or two guys left that you're referring to that, you know, kind of give him a little bit of a problem.
Mm-hmm.
I still think he's a better player, and on both ends of the floor, too. Anthony will have his way with him eventually. But, there's a sticky little thing there, and Utah has that ability to kind of get under your skin a little bit, too, you know. And the Pelicans, if they're going to be able to take care of their business, they got to adjust everybody's kind of way of playing and not get rattled by that stuff.
To wrap up on the Pels, and I'll ask you one question on the black and gold real quick since you're part of the broadcast. Sean, I want to see the Smoothie King Center, the blender, as it was towards the end of last year. It's incredible. A lot of those first games, four of the first seven, going to be at home as well, including the Jazz. So, I feel the excitement. I was walking the dog this morning, and there's a guy in a Pelican shirt, you know, walking around. So I think there's a lot of excitement, and I think it's going to be fun this year at the blender.
Yeah, I think it's important to get a good start, and I think this fan base likes being on the winning side of things, don't they?
Mm-hmm,
and so I think that they have a role in that. I think that the way the crowds went late in the year in the postseason, I think that earned or helped the Pelicans win a couple more games than without them. So wouldn't it be great to see that kind of a feeling early, get off to a good start, and then you'll see more and more of those T-shirts around the neighborhood like you talked about, as opposed to kind of waiting for people to kind of feel things out and see how it goes. Why not come be a part of it early, and then everybody's in a good footing moving forward. So it all goes hand in hand. You and I have talked about this before, and I think that last season was the place that we finally all wanted to see this get to, and you don't want to have to do it all over again, why not start at the beginning? I think that's important for this team.
Yeah, no doubt. Four to first five. Sacramento, L.A., the Clippers, that is. Brooklyn and Utah over at the Blender. Sean, we wrap up as your part with Joel Myers, John Stinchcomb, and Sean Fasano, the Fox broadcast, for a little preseason. You saw that win against the Jags. What are one or two things you'll be paying attention to Friday in the Dome?
Well, I think we're going to see the quarterbacks flip. This is just a guess, but, you know, Tom Savage started under center in the first half. Taysom Hill played the second half. I almost would see that maybe reversed. And then that means I'd want to see what each quarterback looks like with the particular offensive line unit that they're given at that stage in the game. I think that's one thing I'll watch there. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see the defense be better on third down, regardless if it's the first team, second team, third team. I thought that was one thing that kind of stuck out against Jacksonville and then harkened back to last year. Just be better on third down, tackle better. Let me see a week of improvement in that. And then, you know, obviously there's a couple position battles or guys that are trying to make their way, like Dan Arnold's the guy that I'll probably watch a little bit harder this week just because that tight end situation is very interesting right now. And then maybe, you know, the Brandon Tate kick returner situation that, yep, you know, they keep throwing different bodies out there. And is it going to be a Tommy Lee Lewis who makes the roster because of his ability to return? Is it a Brandon Tate guy that comes in there? Or does Boston Scott make them keep an extra running back because he's now emerged as the kick returner? I think that's probably – those are a couple game two watches for me.
Until Hoops gets going, and it won't be much longer that that takes place with the Pels. Keep track of Sean over online at Twitter, at Sean Kelly Live, and on NewOrleansSaints.com. He and John DeShazer wrap up each and every practice and get you ready for the next day. Thank you, Sean. Appreciate your time this afternoon.
Thanks, Gus. We'll see you out there soon.
Yep, for sure. Take a quick break. We come back. I'm pumped. I know you're ready. You are actually.
I'm ready to flock up.
You are ready to flock up. You are so excited about the Pel season this year. Joey, it's crazy. All Jordan has been like asking me, he's like, where's our passes? When do we? I'm ready for quarterback. I got it yesterday. I got the email yesterday.
You got to forward that to me.
I got the email yesterday.
Ugh.
It's coming. I know you're ready.
I got a big smile on my face.
You're ready,
right now.
Dude. You know, media day. I kind of know somebody that might get us. You know, I mean,
some courtside.
We do the show courtside last
Ooh.
Year. We might do the show again courtside. Just saying.
I might have to challenge Drew Holiday in a 3-pointer.
Okay, you know what? You were doing so well. I'm gonna have to chain you to the seat.
I don't
do
know.
That.
I might be drinking more Kool-Aid.
No. We don't need you challenging anybody to a 3-point competition or anything. Hey, hour one is brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King, 504-909-KING. And check them out online, kinginjuryfirm.com. We'll be back on ESPN New Orleans.
Pros and adults start with Lowe's, because at Lowe's, it's easy to find the right tools for the job at the right price. And now you can get up to 30% off select cordless drills and combo kits, including savings on trusted brands like Hitachi, Porter Cable, DeWalt, and Kobalt. Plus, get in and out quickly with help from dedicated associates at our Pro Desk and Pro Checkout. So, Pro, now that you know, start with Lowe's. Offer valid through August 19th. While supplies last. See store for details.
During some of the most difficult times in your life, choose Falgo Funeral Homes. At Falgo Funeral Homes, our funeral directors have cared for families in the Lafourche and Terrebonne area since 1912. We are proud to be one of the few independently owned funeral homes. We focus on your needs and earning the confidence of your family for generations to come. Falgo Funeral Homes, caring you can count on, with locations in Raceland, Lockport, Cutoff, and Homer.
Knock some projects off your to-do list without having to do them yourself. Every day, over 8,000 homeowners turn to the Home Depot's home services to help install garage doors, HVAC units, windows, bath remodels, nearly any home improvement project. All done by licensed local pros backed by the Home Depot. It's the smartest way to get from to-do to done. Schedule an appointment today at homedepot.com/homeservices. The Home Depot. More saving. More doing. For license information, visit homedepot.com/license numbers.
Hey, I'm Clark. I work at the drugstore, and I hate my job. People are always asking me these annoying questions, like, will this soap dry my skin out? Can you unlock the razor case? Will you please ring me up? I'm not like a soap-having ring-up keymaster wizard, okay? Just buy all your bathroom stuff at DollarShaveClub.com. They'll deliver all your bathroom stuff, so you don't have to come to my store and bother me when I'm trying to text my girlfriend's friend.
Right now, get our three most popular grooming products and our best razor for just $5. Only at DollarShaveClub.com/radio. That's DollarShaveClub.com/radio.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Hey, don't forget, tomorrow you can come out and check us out over at Shipley's Donuts. Ooh. You know where Shipley's Donuts is, Jordan, the intern?
No. You're going to have to direct me.
It's in Old Metairie. It's on Metairie Road. It is 2561 Metairie Road, to be exact. We'll be doing the show out there live from 12 to 3. Looking forward to that. As a matter of fact, today's the last day we're in studio. Because on Thursday, where will we be each and every Thursday, part of our new ESPN Thursday Lunch Club?
Vinny's Caddy Shack.
Boom. You were there not last week because of school.
Yeah, and tomorrow I have my first.
I'm sorry, what?
Tomorrow I have my first few days of classes. Yeah.
School started for you tomorrow?
Yep.
All right. That's fine. I can do it without you. That's fine.
No, I'll be there.
No, I'm good.
I'll be there.
I'm just saying, I may have to eat your glazed donut for you.
Better not touch
favorite donut. What is it?
Ooh.
Mine's chocolate iced.
I like those twirly ones that twirl.
Twists?
Like, yeah, those twisty ones.
Mm-hmm. What kind? Glazed or chocolate?
Glazed.
Glazed?
Oh, yeah.
So just normal glazed?
Yep.
Are you a filled donut guy?
No.
No?
No.
Kind of like the bacon, huh? You don't like anything filled?
I don't like anything filled.
Okay. All right. I like jelly.
Of course you like jelly.
There's nothing wrong with jelly. Have you seen this body? I don't pass up many jelly donuts when it comes to it. 2561 Metairie Road, Shipley's Donuts will be there tomorrow from 12 to 3. Stop on by. And then on Thursday, Vinny's 3217. It's been Caddyshack. It's now Vinny's. Super wraps. I mean, wait till you see the wrap on Thursday. You got to get the Italian chicken wrap.
Not the burger?
Just trust me on that. The Italian chicken wrap.
Italian chicken wrap.
Yes. Just trust me on that. That's what you got to get.
Do they have a pool table there?
No, they do shuffleboard and darts.
Okay.
You don't want none of this in shuffleboard, just saying.
I'm good at that stuff.
No. Yeah, just like the football toss?
Nah, that was preseason, Gus.
By the way, I mentioned it to a couple of other friends that are going to be showing up to compete.
Uh-huh.
On Saturday, New Orleans Harley-Davidson, 12-2, right before the Saints practice. It is the last open practice of training camp, by the way. It'll be 4 to 5:30 on Saturday. So before you head out to practice, if you're going to practice, go to New Orleans Harley-Davidson. Free food, free cold drink of the adult kind, free water, sausage, hot dogs, chickens, burgers. And football tosses.
And a little bit of ice cream.
And a little bit of ice cream. Yes, exactly. This popsicles, ice cream sandwiches, the works. So stop on by on Saturday. So we'll be out and about the next 4 days. Shipley's tomorrow. Vinny's on Thursday. Deuce McAllister's Old St. Kitchen Tap on Friday. And
Saturday Harley Davidson.
That's what we're going to be doing, is just talking about the game. So quick version of top stories, Joey, before we wrap up hour number one.
Here's a look at what's making news. Let's check out the Sports Hangover's top stories.
The only top story that matters, Joey, is your Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
Apparently Bud Light making sure that Cleveland celebrates. When the first win happens, they have gone and put locked coolers in and around Cleveland bars. Have you seen this, Jordan?
No.
Go look it up. It's on Google. It's on Twitter. It's everything. It's pictures of these coolers filled, stocked and filled with Bud Light aluminum cans, right? They're like 16 ounces.
Uh-huh.
The ones you get like in the dome at the game. Well, they're locked. The second they win, they will be unlocked, and it is free.
For every win or just one win?
Can you just grab it?
Yeah, no, you can. Well, yeah, I mean, you go and you grab a free beer and you drink one.
For every win or just the first win?
See, this is why we can't have nice things.
I'd grab a nice check.
Exactly. Yeah. See, there goes Jordan, and you know what? You're probably right. There's probably 100 people that are probably thinking, well, Is it one per? Or can I keep coming back? Or can I take some and go home? It's a cooler at a bar. The point is, instead of buying yourself a beer, you walk over to the cooler, you help yourself to a beer. And then if you look at some of those pictures, there's cases stacked next to it. So they'll be keeping replenished. Joey, I'm telling you, I don't think it's going to take too long. Hopefully it won't be week 2. But
ruining a good thing, Jordan.
Exactly. Hopefully it won't be week 2.
Cleveland's going to be trash by the first one.
Yeah, there you go. So you take a look at it. That's really the only top story I need to get into. I mean, really, honestly, is other than that, and Mark Wahlberg says he's interested in buying the Columbus Crew of MLS to keep them in Ohio. That's really a nice thing for Mark to do.
By the way, you know why that's done in Cleveland, right?
Exactly. Yeah. No.
So we don't remember the next 15 games that they win the first.
Come on. See, I don't. I'm telling you, Joey, they're going to win more than. I'm going 5 games.
5
games. Wow. And in all of this, we will wrap up our number one with this, Joey. You ready?
Go.
We'll wrap up with the fact that power rankings, right? We all love our power rankings, don't we? ESPN's power rankings. Your Philadelphia Eagles, the defending world champs, number 1, 13-3 a year ago. The Patriots, 13-3 a year ago, are number 2. Jordan the intern.
Your New Orleans Saints.
Number
3.
Number 3. Your New Orleans Saints power ranking.
Who's number 31?
Who's number 31? Well, let's see. Second to last would be the Cleveland Browns.
See, we're not last.
No, Miami Dolphins are picked last.
We got beer.
Wow. Easy enough.
We got beer.
Sports Hangover Hour 1 was brought to you by the King Firm. Hour 2 next. Don't go anywhere. The Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.